Do you know how to give thanks in everything? Let's learn today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. We are currently looking at Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks. In this command, he says we're to be thankful in everything because this is God's will in Christ. Is it possible to live out this command today? Well, let's find out today as we study together from God's Word.
You know, when God regenerates an individual, not only does he produce a new heart, but he produces a new heart that longs to do this. It longs to obey. See, this allows no excuse to be ungrateful. When Paul says, in everything, in pantai, he is referring to all that occurs in life. Everything. No matter what struggles, no matter what trials, no matter what testings, or anything that occurs in the life of a Christian, with the exception, the obvious exception of sin, they're to give thanks. Helen Keller said, I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God. And I haven't seen any weakness in this man that sits in front of me every week, who always says, praise the Lord. Amen. Always. I'm not trying to build you up and pat you on the head and let it swell, but I just want to thank you for that. Because that's an example. That's something that we all need to do. And listen, if you don't come regularly, you miss that. You miss that kind of encouragement. Which is a good reason to say, why do we gather together as a family, as the body of Christ, as a local assembly? We come together to charge each other up, to exhort each other, to encourage each other, to love one another, to stimulate love and good works among the body. You read that in Hebrews. Someone said if men thank God for good things, they wouldn't have time to complain about the bad things. A lot of truth to that. See, thanksgiving should be the part of the fabric of the regenerated life. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, sometimes we don't rejoice like we should because we're thinking on the wrong things and we're putting garbage in, or we're feeding on junk food instead of feeding on the Word. You know, we're reading a little devotional here, a little devotional there, and we're using that to substitute time in the Word. Listen, a devotional will not change your life. The Word of God will. This is the Word of the living God, right? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This will change your life. I mean, I can read devotions, and I read certain ones of them. But listen, the only thing that changes my life is this. My submission to it, my obedience to it. Over in Ephesians 5, read tonight, you remember those words? Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dear beloved children, live a life of love, just as Christ has loved us and given himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's what should be noted about our life. Not fornication, not uncleanness, not sexual immorality, not greed, not obscenity or foolish talk or coarse jesting, but rather thanksgiving, giving of thanks. Not just when you sit down and eat your meals and you pray, God give them, you shove the food in your mouth quicker than you can get the word thanks out. But no, just the regular course of your life, every day, 24/7. So how can I thank God when I sleep? Well, go to sleep thankful, and maybe you'll have thankful dreams. Amen? Do you pray about that? When you lay down at night, do you pray that God will take wicked dreams from you? I pray that with my kids. That our mind would just be that of peace. It's spiritually abnormal for Christians to be unthankful. Why is that? Because Christians are not only called to be thankful, they are thankful. They are thankful. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Psalm 118, verse 21, I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. See, unthankfulness disobeys the many scripture texts that join the believer's life of gratitude. You know, when the early church met, one of its main purposes was to give thanks to God. It says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And certainly thanksgiving was a part of that. Verse 46 tells us, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart. In chapter 5 and verse 41 of Acts, it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And that's when they were told to quit speaking in that name. Every part of their life was this attitude. Now listen, Paul identified unbelievers. And how did he identify them? As ungrateful. Romans 1:21 says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, all they cared about was themselves, their sin, that instant gratification. They didn't care about glorifying God. They didn't care about worshiping the Creator. They wanted to worship the creature because they wanted to have the fulfillment of their creature comforts, even all the way down to their sexual preferences. This is people today. They think just because they're thankful because they have a lesbian partner or a homosexual partner that they're going to heaven and everything's right between them and the Lord. Listen, they're fooling themselves. That's sin. And no matter how foolish it you come in here, maybe it's not something as extreme as that, but maybe it's something else. Maybe you're harboring resentment in your heart, and you walk in here and you say, well, Lord, I'm thankful for you, even though I have this resentment in my heart against this person, but I'm thankful. You think God receives that? You think he receives your worship? No, he didn't receive your worship, especially when Jesus says in Matthew 5 that if you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother, then come back and offer your gift. See how important that is? Unbelievers don't care about God. And the only time they are thankful is when they haven't experienced the consequences of their sinfulness and they got what they coveted and lusted for, right? It says over there in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They're not thankful. They're ungrateful. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And what do? They complain. They're not thankful. And only when God regenerates your heart do you have the capacity to truly be thankful and to recognize that the source of all the blessing of your life is Christ. So believers give thanks, and they do that because they have a new heart. Notice the second thing here. Believers give thanks because they have a new desire. They have a new desire. You know, the very moment when Christ came into my life, that's the first thing I recognized. My desires were different. I didn't desire sin like I had previously. I didn't desire to do those things that I prayed so hard to get off of, and I'd pray to get off one, and I would lay heavy on the other. When God forgave me of my sin, he gave me a new awareness of my sin, and he gave me that heart to obey him. Again, believers desire to obey God. They don't desire to sin. And I love how I've heard my daughter pray many times, God, keep me from sinning today. That's practical, wouldn't you say? Do you pray that? Are you that conscious about your sin? God, help me to obey you in all things today. And that would include thanksgiving, wouldn't it? See, when Paul gives the command to the Thessalonians to give thanks, that's exactly what they did. It's reflected throughout both the letters that Paul wrote to them. They had a new desire because of their new heart, and that produced thanksgiving. Go to chapter 1. Look at verse 6. He says here, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples, you became tupos, you became an imprint to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." Over in chapter 2, verse 13, he says there, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Jews. You didn't run from persecution. You experienced the same thing. And that didn't diminish your joy. You still became examples to the other churches." Look over in chapter 3. He says there in verse 6, "Now that Timothy has come to us from you, brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." That brought joy to them because they knew that their faith was genuine, it was real, and they heard about it. Look over at chapter 4, verse 9. "Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." They were loving each other to such a point that, again, that was the example that was laid before the other believers in the churches. If you go there to 2 Thessalonians, he tells them in verse 3 that their faith was growing exceedingly and their love toward one another abounded. And he says, "We're bound to thanks God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations which you endure." Listen, I can relate to that. I've been in churches where I really didn't want to invite anybody to come, because the churches was experienced so much gossip, slander, backbiting, fighting with one another. Who wants to invite anybody to that? Here, come on in, jump into the ring. You spend more time dealing with the fires in the church that you can't deal with anything outside the church. But you know, that's not so here. Hasn't been so here. You know, as was testified tonight, the kind of church, the kind of people that you are, it brings joy. People ask me all the time about the church, and I can't speak anything bad about it because there's nothing bad to speak. I said, praise the Lord. I'm still pinching myself. You know, every now and then the Lord gives us a reality that everything is really going on, and a little bit of trouble comes in to just kind of keep us humble. And I praise God for you. I've longed for people like you in my life for so long. Instead of being around people that grumble and complain all the time, I told Teresa, I said, listen, when I get up in that age and I'm just grumbling and complaining, just pull out a gun and shoot me, you know? I mean, I'm not going to be pleasant to be around. I mean, that's one of the bad things about retirement. Sometimes people retire and they become busybodies in other people's business. Listen, why don't you go out and do something productive? Why don't you go out and tell others about Christ? Instead of coming around here wondering if people are doing their job, or worrying about a chair being moved over here, or a door being locked, or something physical in the building. Listen, you don't like about the things that your elders or pastors do or say, then pray for them. Get on your knees and pray. Sometimes your complaints only need to go to the Lord. They only need to go up, not out. Not out to everyone. Just go to the Lord with it. He's the one that controls us, right? He's the one that changes our hearts. He's the one that confronts us, right? When Jesus talked about obedience, he connected it with love. You remember these words, John 14:15? If you love me, say it with me. keep my commandments? He connects the two. You say you love him. Do you keep his commandments? What are his commandments? Well, 1 John 5 and also chapter 1 talks about his word being his commandments. Do you keep his word? He says there, 1 John 5, 2 and 3, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not a burden. You know, I just want to tell you that that passage that we were in this past Sunday, it didn't just speak to your heart, it spoke to mine as well. Because you know, when you do things day in and day out, it's very easy to allow a certain attitude to set in. And you have to fight against that. You don't want to become complacent to the word. You always want to evaluate your own heart and say, Lord, am I receiving this the way that you want me to receive this? Am I excited about the word? Am I passionate about the word? So as you do surveys of your life, I do the same. And take those inventories. See, believers are consistently thankful. Erwin Lutzer says, a Christian who walks by faith accepts all circumstances from God. He thanks God when everything was good, when everything goes bad, and for the blues somewhere in between. He thanks God whether he feels like it or not. I was talking about a statement that D. James Kennedy said one time, and I realized after I'd walked off the platform I said it wrong, and I'll probably say it wrong again, but that statement that says, how are you doing? Better than I deserve. I think I got it right that time. Amen. You know, when you look at people's lives in the Bible, and again, they're displayed right here before us. How would you like your life to be displayed over and over, generation after generation, reading about your sin where you totally messed up? How would you like that? But how would you like it too when you did something right? That's what you want displayed, right? But you know, I think about Joseph over in Genesis 50. He was treated very harshly by his brothers, even to the point his brothers deceived their father in making him believe that Joseph was dead. But after Joseph's father died, you really see Joseph's heart. It says in Genesis 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when he spoke to them. And then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. Listen, when you have forgiveness in your heart, you don't have any grudges, you don't have any bitterness, you speak kindly. You're gentle. You're not harsh. And you're seeking to provide. If your enemy hungers, what does Paul say? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's hard to do in the flesh. See, you can't carry out any of this that we're talking about tonight. You can't carry out anything of the scripture in the flesh on your own. That's going to be hypocritical. That's not loving without hypocrisy, as Paul says in Romans 12:9. And of course, you go back to Acts 16, and you look there in that situation again with Paul and Silas. After they had received many stripes, he says there in verse 22, the multitude rose up together against them. Magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the inner prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. Listen, I can't think for just a moment how excruciating that pain must be. You know, I was doing something out in the yard, and I was working on a pipe, and I had one of those miniature fake, you know, hacksaws, okay? I advise you, if you have one, throw it away. I'm sitting here doing this, and the blade comes out the handle and stabs me in the hand. And I'm going, look at this, you know? And I'm going, now this project's going to take much longer because it was my right hand. And so I went off down to the store and bought me a real hacksaw, okay? Threw the other one away, and I told the lady at the thing, I said, listen, you know, I had this other one, and it stabbed me in the hand, you know? And I said, immediately I got thinking about what would it have been like to have been crucified? I couldn't even fathom that. My hand hurt for just a few moments, and I had something to put on it. Jesus didn't have anything to put on his wounds. As he bore there our sin. I told that lady that, and I walked out, and I was just kind of in that thought. And of course, you write off and you think of 100 scriptures you could have shared, but that wasn't my thought. I mean, that wasn't even my purpose. I'm just thinking out loud. Jesus certainly is our example, isn't he? And here are these guys. They're fastened in the stocks. Excruciating pain. Listen, you hold your body in a certain position that's not normal, it's going to start hurting. And here they were in a position that they couldn't do anything about it. So what did they do? Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, many people watch us all the time. They watch how we handle adversity and trouble and trials. They see us at work. You know, we don't have that privilege to see you everywhere you are and under every circumstance that you experience. But you know, many people that work with you do. They see it. You know, and when you blow it, do you go back to them who saw it and tell them, listen, you blew it? I don't want you to think bad about Christ or anything I've told you because you saw me blow it over there. Will you forgive me? That makes Christianity authentic, genuine, real. But to be late at work or to be known as being late everywhere, flaking on the job, taking things from the job that's not yours, any of those things, you know? It hurts our testimony. And no wonder people question the legitimacy of Christianity. In John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And right before he called him to come forth from the grave, it says that they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He always heard him. They're consistent. We have that consistent pattern of others and certainly of our Lord. Believers are consistently thankful. Well, look at a third. Believers give thanks because they have a new heart. They give thanks because they have a new desire. Number three, they give thanks because this reflects the will of God. He says there in verse 18 to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will is our thanksgiving. God wills that we be thankful. We are to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Think about Daniel 6. He was told to quit praying. He was told to quit worshiping his God. And they had signed a decree deceitfully against him because they hated Daniel and they wanted him to be murdered. It says in Daniel 6:10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. No decree was going to stop him from thanking God and being obedient. We're to walk in thanksgiving. We're to pray with thanksgiving. You know what? We're also to sing with thanksgiving. I was thinking about this. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." Many of the Psalms talk about singing with thanksgiving, and I immediately thought of Psalm 40. I remember early on coming across Psalm 40, and I was thinking, you know, that was my life. That's my testimony right there. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God." Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Many of you know my background with music and having played bars and all that whole scene. And God saved me. He put a new song in my mouth. What is that song? Praise to our God. Prior to that, it was praise to myself. That's what it's all about. Ungrateful, unthankful. But again, when God changes you, He puts a new song in your mouth, right? Many see it, many fear, many trust in the Lord. How about Psalm 100? Let's get what it says. Verse 1, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." You know, that's what should be hung over the doors. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful.
There's no other way to state it than just simply that. Be thankful. Our message today has been called "Why We Give Thanks" from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. This message is available on CD for a gift of $5, or you can download it from our website for free by visiting us at changebygrace.org. If you'd like to place an order today, call us at 904-651-3351 or write us at Change by Grace, P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. I do want to thank you for listening today. I do hope that you'll join us again next time as we study together from God's Word.